Chapter 29. You decide, man. Words. Accompanied. Accompany. Afterburner. Animal. Anyone. Be busy. Be executed. Be finished. Bomber. Busy. Catch up. Coffee. Command. Conduct. Continent. Correctly. Cup. Ear. Enormous. Film. Froze. Incident. Introduced. Investigation. Lead. Moral. Nervous. Not anyone. Permission. Questioning. Realize. Shameless. Stirred. Stunt. Sugar. Talk. Tense. Tension. Thoughtfully. Uselessness. Video. Wide-eyed. You decide, man. The bank guard, George Titan, was not surprised at all when he saw the former bank manager, John Vega, accompanied by Detective Paul Roast. "Good morning, George," Roast said to him. "I'm conducting an investigation about the robbery in your bank. I am now accompanying John Vega for an investigative experiment." "I understand. Come in, please," Titan said. "Good day, Mr. Manager. How is it going?" the guard asked the manager as if he were a good friend. "Thank you, George," former bank manager John Vega said. "Well, or badly, but it is going." Roast and Vega went into the bank and saw that the safe was closed. Then they asked the guard to lead them to the new bank manager. They walked into the manager's room. Titan introduced Roast and Vega to the new manager. The new bank manager was a 45-year-old woman. Her name was Anna Furtado. Miss Furtado was surprised when Roast asked her to open the safe for the investigative experiment, but she went with them to the safe and opened it. "Why is a private detective and not the police conducting the investigative experiment?" Miss Furtado asked. "The police asked me to do this part of the investigation," Roast explained, "because I'd conducted the investigation on the first case when John Vega robbed $10,000 from his own bank." "Was this the incident where he exchanged the money for fake bills?" Miss Furtado asked. "Yes. The fake money said, 'We love cabbage,' instead of 'In God we trust,'" Roast explained. "What? You like cabbage?" Roast turned to Vega. "Are you ashamed now? Come, show me how you took that money. Come into the safe," Roast shouted. Vega went into the safe and looked at Roast. "Take out the bag, open it, and put the money in it, and tell me everything that you're doing," Roast ordered. He turned on the video camera and began to film everything that Vega was doing. "I opened the bag," Vega said, and opened the bag. "Then I put it here and began to put the money in it," Vega continued and began to put the money into the bag. "Go on," Roast ordered. "I was putting the money in the bag," Vega continued. "When the bag was full, I put it there," Vega pointed to the door. "Put the bag there," Roast ordered. Vega quickly put the full bag by the door. Miss Furtado carefully watched everything that was happening. "Then I took out a second bag and began putting the money in it," Vega continued and began to put the money in the bag. Roast noticed that Vega was beginning to like this process. Miss Furtado looked at Vega as if he were a madman. "I was putting in the money, Vega was saying quickly. "When the bag was full, I also put it over there." And he quickly put the second bag next to the first one. "Stop," Roast cried, and Vega froze. Then Roast looked at Miss Furtado. "Please don't tell anyone about what I am about to tell him," Roast asked her and turned to Vega. Listen, you are a shameless scoundrel. When I was told that you robbed your own bank twice, I didn't believe it. Now, when I look at you, I can understand why people say that you are a greedy animal, Roast said quietly. Vega lowered his eyes and turned away. Roast looked at Miss Furtada. Excuse me, Miss Furtada. Continue the investigative experiment, Roast ordered. Vega took out a third bag and began quickly putting in the money. Good afternoon, Miss Furtada, Roast heard and looked at the person who said these words. Andrew stood next to Miss Furtada and looked at Roast. Their eyes met. They looked at each other. Vega stopped putting the money in a bag and froze. Paul and Andrew kept looking at each other. Andrew, of course, knows that Paul escaped from prison. Paul thought that Andrew wouldn't let him leave. As a police officer, he must do it. He also has the full moral right to arrest him. He has 4 children. If he loses his job or goes to jail because of Paul, what would happen to his children? Miss Furtada noticed this long pause and gave Andrew a questioning look. Hi, Andrew, Paul said and lowered his eyes. Miss Furtada, may I speak to you for a moment? Andrew asked. Miss Furtada walked to the side with the police officer. Vega gave Paul Roast a questioning look. How much is in those 2 bags? Roast asked. About 1.5 million, Vega replied. Let's go, Roast ordered. He quickly helped Vega lift both bags, and they walked to the bank exit. Paul Roast! Roast heard a voice behind him. He stopped and turned around slowly. Andrew, Miss Furtada, and George Titan were quickly walking toward them. Are you finishing the investigative experiment already? So quickly? Andrew asked Paul. Yes, Roast replied, realizing the uselessness of his plan. He just needs to put the money into the van. That's it. He looked up at Andrew. They looked at each other again, and once again, there was a long pause. Who gave you permission to conduct an investigative experiment? Andrew asked. The chief of police, Paul said, and added, If you have to do your job, then come on. Roast was prepared to be arrested by Andrew. Yes, I will do what I must do. Usually, 2 police officers conduct investigative experiments, Andrew explained. Because you are alone, then I have to fulfill the role of the second officer. Continue, Andrew said. Roast waved to Vega, and he carried the bags of money further toward the door. Andrew followed Roast and Vega. I talked to your mother, Andrew said when they'd left the bank and were walking toward the car. If I understand correctly, you are planning to go to Damascus? Yes, I need to help one person, Paul replied. If you're talking about Lisa Pandora, then she is going to be executed for crimes against the state, Andrew explained, looking back at the bank entrance. In Libya, she and Ashur were able to avoid the trial. But in Syria, Ashur decided not to risk it. But Pandora didn't stop. I wouldn't trust her if I were you, Andrew suggested. I'm not going to trust her, Paul looked at Andrew. I just don't want them to kill her. I hope that you know what you're doing, Andrew said and went back to the bank. Vega and Roast got into the van. Ashur began to drive. Faster! We have no more than 10 minutes, Roast ordered. The van was driving very fast past the military airfield. When they reached the forest, Ashur stopped the van. Roast, Vega, and Stravinsky got out of the van. Say hello to your father, Roast said to Ashur. Paul, don't trust Pandora, Ashur advised, gave Roast a long look, and drove away. Roast, Vega, and Stravinsky climbed over the wall and ran to the airplane hangar. This one will fly all the way to Syria and blow up half of Damascus, Roast said, pointing to the huge bomber. Vega ran to the bomber and started to climb into it. Wait, Mr. Manager. It is easy to catch up to and knock down this bomber, Roast added, and Vega immediately returned. But only a missile could catch up to this plane, Paul said about a small plane. But we have a very good means against missiles, he said, getting in plane. What means? Vega said with interest, and also climbed into the airplane. It is you, John. You and the money in the bags. At the right time, on my command, you will throw the money out of the plane. It will create a cloud, and the missile will only see a cloud.
I won't throw out the money, Vega shouted. Let's throw out...
Vega looked around. Stravinsky, he said. But Rost was busy launching the plane and didn't answer Vega. Stravinsky took the co-pilot's seat, and Vega sat between his legs. Stravinsky, do you know where to turn on your catapult? Vega inquired. But Stravinsky put the money bags on top of Vega and closed the cabin door. The plane slowly drove out of the hangar. Several people saw that a plane was leaving without permission and ran after it out of the hangar. But Rost turned on the afterburner and the fighter plane took off at an enormous speed. Rost flew the plane close to the ground so that the radars couldn't see it. Stravinsky began to shout out of nervous tension.
Syria! We are flying to Syria! Syria! Stravinsky shouted without stopping.
Vega looked at him wide-eyed, then covered his ears with his hands and put his head down. At that time, Andrew was in the police headquarters. He thoughtfully stirred the sugar in a cup of coffee. The phone rang, and he answered it. It was an officer from the Ministry of Defense.
Andrew, is your friend showing off his stunts again? The officer from the ministry asked indignantly.
I think it's him, Andrew said. He has some business in Syria.
So he should buy a ticket for a regular plane instead of showing off his stunts, the officer cried. If he doesn't land the plane in 3 minutes, we will launch a missile at it.
Last time you awarded him a medal for his stunts, Andrew said. At least don't kill him this time. Don't kill him if you still need heroes, Andrew asked and hung up. He got up, left the building, and walked down the street. He knew that he would not be able to help those who shouted. The plane flew over the sea. The continent was left behind and was no longer visible. Only the smoke from the missiles, flying toward the airplane, pointed to the place where the land was. To be continued. New Vocabulary Review. Sit down, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Judge. By the way, I don't remember you. How long have you worked in court?
3 days. But we are not going to talk about me. Did you order bombers to bomb cities in our country?
Then tell me, please, is this trial taking place behind closed doors?
No. There are reporters from newspapers and television stations in the courtroom.
In that case, it wasn't me. These were the orders of the Prime Minister. He ordered the bombing.
Not true, Mr. Judge. The President ordered everything. He is a shameless animal. I didn't order it. He is guilty.
Silence, everybody.
You can speak only with my permission.
Of course, Mr. Judge.
Mr. President, at the time of the arrest, they found in your possession a Panama State passport in your name. How can you explain this?
I can explain it. When the Prime Minister flew to Colombia for a botanist's symposium, he bought not only various amazing plants and products made from them, he also bought several passports from different countries in my own name and in his name. It is very convenient to travel around the world with these passports. Have you heard of the former Ukrainian Prime Minister Lazarenko, Mr. Judge?
No, I have not. Go on.
He had a wonderful time traveling around the world with a Ukrainian and a Panamanian passport at the same time. It's very convenient if you're carrying a lot of cash in your suitcases. He advised it to me and my prime minister.
Did you order to shoot at people during a demonstration?
Do I have the right to remain silent?
Answer the question.
Then I demand a cup of coffee and a gun with one bullet. The coffee is for me, and the pistol for the Prime Minister.